Plan B Entertainment, two other producers, both two-time Academy Award winners for Best Picture. Please welcome Jeremy Kleiner and Dee Dee Gardner. We're very lucky to have the composer for the film with us tonight, an Academy Award nominee for his beautiful work on Moonlight. Please welcome Nicholas Britell. From the cast, we have a five-time Academy Award nominee, Amy Adams. Please help me welcome one of the producers as well as the writer and director of the film, Oscar winner, Adam McKay. It's so nice to see all of you. I hope you all enjoyed this movie as much as I do. Adam, my first question to you, which I haven't asked you even though we've spoken about this movie before, and I'm just curious, it's a quick question. Why Dick Cheney and why now?
You know, it was funny. It was after The Big Short, I caught the flu for like 3 weeks, and I was laid up at home, and I did that thing you do where you look at your bookshelf and you read things you haven't read. And I'd always been kind of interested in Dick Cheney, so a friend of mine had given me a book on Cheney, and I just kind of pulled it out and started reading it. And I was shocked. Like, every couple pages, I was going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And so, you know, us living in the modern age, I ordered 3-4 more books. And every one of them had a different kind of look at him. And then at that point, I called Kevin Messick and our executive producer, Robin Woolley, and I just said, I think our next movie is about Dick Cheney, and they were not happy. They wished that I had said Spider-Man. But it was such an incredible story. I mean, I think we all heard the jokes about how he was pulling the strings and all that kind of stuff, but when I really read the details, it just pulled me in.
As a politically minded guy in general, what were your impressions of him before reading 4 or 5 books, and how did that change over that period?
You know, I think we all knew that there were issues around the Iraq War. I think we were all, you know, a lot of us, not all of us, but I think 61% of us were upset about the way that happened. And I think we knew there was something going on with that administration. I just had no idea how truly brilliant he was. I mean, when I started reading how he gamed that system, and when I was getting towards the end of writing the script, it just so happened that W. Bush's dad, I think, had written a book, and he had a quote that said, I kind of messed up telling my son to work with Dick Cheney. I didn't know that he would run a shadow empire out of the White House. And I was like, all right, good, I'm not imagining this.
So Kevin, as someone who's worked with Adam for such a long time, what's your recollection of how you did feel about this idea, and specifically how you felt about the idea of Christian Bale as Cheney?
Christian was plan A from the get-go, I think, from the time that Adam dug into the script. He was the only actor he shared it with. Literally 1 year after he had the flu and read the books to the month, he gave the script to Christian. Christian said yes. So it was very focused on Adam's part, and a great kind of great luck for us that Christian kind of agreed with the challenge. Yeah. So, but as, in terms of Adam's choice of Cheney, I think he can do anything. He made The Big Short into an entertaining movie, so we thought he could do the same thing with Cheney.
Amy, what about you? What's your remembrance of how you first were even told about this? This film and the idea of you as Lynn?
I heard, you know, through my agent that Adam was making this movie, and I had worked with him on Talladega Nights and had a great time. And then when The Big Short came out, I was just blown away with his point of view and his unique style of filmmaking that he'd adopted, and using all of the gifts of improv in this way. It was so exciting as an actor to watch this happen in front of me, like a new way of making films be born, you know. So when this came to me, I was excited about it and excited about the prospect of working with Christian again. And then I read the script and I'm like, I have to do this. I mean, the challenge placed in front of, I mean, all of the actors in creating characters that are somewhat known or believed to be known, and then kind of digging deeper and kind of traveling with them through their life and aging and maturing and, I don't know, it just, and then the Shakespeare scene, I was like, well, I have to do this. I'm like, if I can do this, I can do anything. I tend to like to be challenged. I like to scare myself, and I was scared by the prospect of playing Lynn, so that's how I know it's something I can't walk away from, and I'm really happy to have had this experience. It was amazing.
What does it add to the equation when it is someone like Christian Bale that you've made two fantastic films with and had two great experiences with, than to just be on the set and have a completely different dynamic from anything that you've ever done with him before?
Well, it's amazing because he's so transformative physically, but also the way that he embodies the character, the research that he does, he just changes. I often say I've never worked with Christian Bale. I've worked with Dick Cheney, and worked with that cute guy in American Hustle, and who adored me. You know what I mean? Like, he's still Christian, of course, but he's just so wonderful to work with. But in this one, what I was excited about is I've sort of lost my insecurity with Christian at this point. I think the first time I worked with him, I was so intimidated, and you know, so good, and I'm doing a scene with him, and I find it still happens that I'll find myself watching him in the middle of a scene. Like, I'll forget that I'm supposed to be acting back. You know, I'm like, oh my goodness, you guys seeing this? Of course they are, but I get really, like, I love a good performance, and being on the other side of one, it's exciting. But it also, knowing that we were going to develop a relationship over the course of decades, over the course of a lifetime, you know, it was exciting, and I felt really comfortable, and I had a lot of trust and a lot of sort of unspoken way that we worked with one another that just created an ease that I think helps make the relationship feel more familiar.
Didi, as is kind of implied from the very beginning of the movie, the text we see on the screen, this was not a film made with cooperation from the Cheney family. How does that affect your job as producer when you're coming at it like that?
Well, I mean, you take the responsibility very seriously, and you make sure that everyone feels the same way about that responsibility, and then there's just an epic amount of work. It's not like these facts weren't out there to be discovered. I think that's part of the point of the film, is what's going on around us all the time that we don't pay attention to. Certainly that's something that I became very familiar with making The Big Short with Adam, was, oh right, we've outsourced expertise, but these are our bank accounts. So you just have to do your research, you have to do your work, and you have to double check and triple check. And then you have to be committed to the filmmaker and the story, which, you know, we consider a huge privilege to be able to tell stories. We're really lucky, so you'd best do your fucking best.
Jeremy, when you think back to this whole process, what comes to mind is kind of like the biggest challenge from a production point of view, something that kept you up at night or gave you headaches?
I think it had enormous production challenges, just the scope of the film, the fact that it spans time, the fact that we shot it in California, and yet we're trying to capture this small town Americana that I think is so central to the film. And then I think there's another massive challenge, which, you know, Adam tackled in this kind of amazing way, which it's not precisely a production challenge, but it's this, how do you take this man who's so secretive and kind of unknowable and protagonize him, make him the center of an epic, and give this film this kind of grand quality, at the same time that the whole premise is that he operated in the shadows. And I think that's an enormous accomplishment of this film, that it takes on, you know, such a sort of, and The Big Short had this as well, something that seems so uncinematic on paper in some ways, and yet Adam kind of breaks this barrier and almost, you know, innovates the form of filmmaking itself in such a profound way. And I think we all feel enormously privileged to be, as Dee Dee said too, just part of that kind of enterprise. So that's production and creative together.
Nick, for you, I love the fact that so much of the last handful of years in your career has been taken up, besides working on the TV show Succession, has been taken up by working with these two filmmakers, Barry Jenkins on Beale Street and Moonlight, and Adam on The Big Short and this movie. So, like, you're just doing crazy, amazing stuff for wildly different kinds of films. How does your approach change when you're working on an Adam movie?
It's a good question. I feel very, very lucky to work with all of these amazing people. I think that, you know, each film is its own adventure. It's its own journey. And from a music perspective, I think the thing that excites me, the thing that really fascinates me is, I think it's sort of unknowable what is the sound of a movie until you're really in the process, you know, until you're actually looking at the footage and you're trying things. And I think the thing that, you know, the thing that I've learned, really, I think, from Adam, it was, honestly, for me, it was on The Big Short. I remember when we first started working together with our amazing editor, Hank Corwin, the three of us would be in the edit, and we would be trying things together. And it was this incredibly illuminating and exciting thing for me, where it sort of just opened my eyes to all the possibilities that are within this amazing, you know, making of a movie, where there are no obvious right answers, and there are no right answers. You know, there's just what do you feel, and you let the movie kind of tell you. And I think that as we work together, and I really honestly have learned this from Adam, is, you know, you learn things as you're going, and there are things that you discover. And I think sort of respecting the mystery of that, and the discovery of that, is something that I feel very privileged to get the chance to do with everyone here. And I think it was Adam who first really showed me that.
Was there a particular point of reference for you, Nick, whether it's a former comedic or political film score, or a buzzword of what you were going for genre-wise, or what kind of, like, was the key to unlocking this for you?
It's a great question, because I remember on The Big Short, the first thing Adam said to me was, you know, he said, what's the sound of dark math?
Dark math.
That was dark mathematics. Like, what is that? You know. So we started, you know, started brainstorming. I don't know. Well, maybe it's this weird thing. You know. And on this, early on, we already were talking about the scope is so massive. This is a story that affects everyone, literally everyone in the world, and over decades of time. So we started talking about a symphonic approach. But I think that there is an idea of what an American kind of sound is, or what a hero's journey sounds like. And this isn't that movie, you know? I think...
Well, like, kind of is.
Well, no, in the sense that there's a dissonance with this journey.
Exactly.
So I think that what's there is, there's something else within the context of all those things that you imagine that you know, and there's something else going on behind the surface. And so with every theme in the movie, actually, there's a dissonance. There's a note that might be wrong, or there's some other element that's rubbing the other way. And it's not supposed to be necessarily something that you obviously notice, but I think hopefully the effect is that it's this idea that there is this something working in the shadows that none of us realize, you know, or that most of us maybe don't realize, but it's there the whole time.
Adam, when you think back to actually being on the set, what do you remember as far as what was most important for you to get across to your actors, your lead actors, note-wise? I imagine you're not asking them to play the comedy or play the absurdity. What were you most going for?
No, I think this whole movie was sort of, in a way, trying to solve a mystery. And the mystery was, who is Dick Cheney, of course?
if you read his biography, it's like a court deposition. There's no revelations in it whatsoever. You have to read things next to what he wrote. Lynn's biography was very, very helpful. And I kind of compare it to like radio telescopy in the sense that like I can tell that star is behaving strangely. There must be a black hole near it, and oh, that black hole is Donald Rumsfeld. Like, and the actors were a vital part of this. When you get actors like Christian Bale and Amy Adams and Sam Rockwell and but mainly like Christian and Amy. They're going to go so deep, and they do it with empathy. They're not doing it with judgment. And the key to this movie was to never judge, and to really look at how a guy who loved his family and really loved his wife could end up in this position by the end of the movie. So on set, we were always playing around. There was always room to improvise. There was always room to do different versions of takes. I don't think there's ever been a movie I've done where I've leaned on the actors so heavily.
Is that the new-ish experience for you, Amy, to have all that kind of leeway to ad-lib, or is that something you're used to with other filmmakers?
I mean, I think in this it felt different because... I've had filmmakers encourage it in a dramatic way, meaning, or filmmakers like yelling the lines that they want you to say during takes, which is always fun. but what was great about this was he would allow me to bring out Lynn's inner monologue, which was so much fun for me because. As an actor, I prepare so much more than ever makes it onto the screen. And so it was really fun to get to sort of speak out loud Lynn's inner monologue from time to time. And also, he encouraged us, I felt very encouraged to go for it, you know? Like, I wasn't going too far. Like, go for it. That's Lynn. And really dive into it and chew on it and don't be afraid of it, you know? I felt very supported by Adam.
Am I crazy, or was there a scene, Amy, early on with you and Christian where there's like a fly buzzing around both of your faces?
Oh, yeah, no. It like landed on him, and he has the vomit on his face, and he was like on the vomit. It was, I don't know how we held it together. But yeah, there was a fly that wouldn't leave us alone during that scene. And then there's a fly again. I forget when it was. I was like, the fly.
That's true. Yeah, every EFX company would say, do you want us to remove the fly? And we're like, no. We are very happy with the fly. There would have been a fly in Wyoming in the late 50s, early 60s.
I loved it. And Christian, it was on him. The fly was around me a little bit, but it landed on Christian. I mean, that fly was really
into whatever. It was right on his cheek.
Yeah, whatever they put on his face is the blood and the fake
vomit. And there
were
some wild dogs later in the movie, too, that we did not take out.
Wow.
And there was a king cobra.
The fly was going for its SAG card. Trying to just be in the movie. For Dee Dee and Jeremy and Kevin, what is it like? I mean, obviously you're talking to Adam as he's putting the script together, but like, what's it like to get the script and see that there's a credit sequence halfway through, and or to read like the really, really fun out there stuff like the stuff that ends up Alfred Molina in the restaurant reading off all the choices? Like, it's so great. But as producers, what's it like to see all that and realize that this is what your guy has been up to?
It's joyous.
All of the flourishes that you see in the movie were in his first draft. The fake ending, Alfred Molina, Shakespeare, and the same with The Big Short. All the great things that kind of broke the narrative mold in terms of how he was looking to tell a story, they're on the page. He dreams them up, and we smile when we get it.
And then for you guys, Dee Dee and Jeremy, is it a particular challenge to figure out how to bring these things to life in a way that feels super fun, but also like real and authentic and of a piece with the movie?
Well, not with Adam at the helm. I mean, your job with Adam is just clear the pathway and let him work his ninja magic, because reading the script was like, you're like, what?
No way. We're gonna go. We got a lot of words. It's fun. It's like all you try and do always is tell stories that haven't been told in ways they haven't been told. And Adam is in charge of that parade.
Jeremy, what was it like just on the bigger ensemble scenes to just look at your set and see George W. Bush, Donald Rumsfeld, Dick Cheney, in a conference room? Was it trippy?
I think you had asked about the production challenges, and I think another, movies are about degree of difficulty, and this film had an enormous degree of difficulty, and I think it's a testament to the incredible acting and casting that, these scenes that were replicating things that people kind of know didn't fall into caricature. They didn't feel like people imitating people. They felt, you have in a room, such incredible actors sometimes saying nothing. You see Tyler Perry as Colin Powell, giving a haunted look, and you see Amy as Lynn Cheney, and you see Lisa Gay Hamilton as Condoleezza Rice, and obviously Christian Bale, and the chemistry of all of that, and choreographing and coordinating all of that in a way that it would somehow feel completely real and yet also have a kind of groundedness in history, and that's a testament to, I think, a lot of research that was done. And I want to say something too. You asked about the kind of these flourishes. It was exciting, but it's challenging, and I think. I think as producers, you're used to things being the way that things are or have been, and so there's this wrestling, and I think that sometimes one wants to rely on familiarity, but I think one of the great things about this is Adam continued to push beyond the forms that we kind of know to some almost unclassifiable but still super exciting way of telling a story. And that keeps a producer on their toes to kind of always be open to the idea that someone is doing something that is new and beyond the kind of the norms that we all accept.
Adam, one of your cast members who Jeremy just mentioned, Tyler Perry, it was important to him to have a conversation with Colin Powell to kind of get his blessing. Did that make you at all uncomfortable, or were you like, no, go ahead, have the conversations you need to have?
I mean, only Tyler Perry could just be like, I'm calling Colin Powell. that just cracked me up right away. And he's shooting me these texts, like, I just talked to Colin. I'm like, Colin who? And we kind of knew. I mean, the whole idea of Tyler Perry, I was told the idea, and then he came by. I was like, yeah, maybe. And then he came by my office, and I have never met anyone with more presence in my entire life. Like, the guy has gravitas. And instantly I was like, oh, yeah, he's Colin Powell. So, yeah, he talked to Powell, but Tyler's really, really smart. He gets it. He sees the big picture. I told him, I go, this isn't one of Powell's best stories from his life. And Tyler was like, I told him that. And to Powell's credit, he acknowledged that as well. So we were trying to avoid those kinds of interactions because they can get tricky, they can get dicey, but ultimately, I to Powell's credit, I guess, that was it. It was a quick exchange.
Amy, you mentioned the great kind of Shakespeare scene in bed, and I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that theme of the Shakespearean tragedy of it all is kind of echoed in Christian's final soliloquy, if you will, to the audience. That feels very Shakespearean to me. Was it important to you to explore that as a construct, to have it feel Shakespearean beyond just that scene, or was it really limited, Amy, in your mind to that one bed scene?
Yeah, I felt like so much of the themes of this felt Shakespearean, and Adam was talking earlier. So I'm going to pass this to you, not to deflect, but because I really love what he has to say about Christian and him in the last scene, because I think it's kind of awesome.
So great.
I'm going to bat it over.
This is embarrassing. I don't know who Shakespeare is. The last scene, the night before we were going to shoot it, Christian said, I understand that we're never going to have Cheney look at camera, mm-hmm. But with tomorrow, a scene that we're shooting where he says "so," which I think most of you know, that's a real interview that happened with Martha Raddatz. He said, "Why not shoot it?" And I was like, "Yeah." Always my approach is, "Why not get it?" Like, you can always use it or not use it. And so I wrote some stuff. I sent it to Christian, who of course is the most meticulous, crazy researcher ever. And he came back with a bunch of lines that Cheney had actually said, defending the Iraq war, the war on terror, torture. And then I came back to him and we shot it. We did one take that was straight ahead, the interview, and then we did the next one with his turn to camera, and we were like, holy crap. And the real key was when Christian discovered and we discovered that that idea of service, that he represents you, was the thing that would move him. And then we realized what was powerful about that is, does he mean you, America, or does he mean power? And once we had that moment, I got chills. And then my brilliant editor, Hank Corwin, it was never scripted to be at the end of the movie, he put it at the end. But that idea of, is he talking to us, or is he talking to some sort of Jungian shadow creature, which I like to think that's who he's talking to. But that's my opinion.
Let me end with a question for all six of you. Raise your hand if you would like to meet the Cheney family. Raise your hand if you pass.
One last question,
yeah,
just for the group. Nick Bertel, how much did you make last year in income before taxes?
It's a great question.
Sorry, I always have to fuck with Nick. Always.
I was like, oh shoot, is he going to answer that? Guys, as always, it is a total pleasure to sit with all six of you. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you.